message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amosan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Types and shadows, or you can call it typology. You see, typology is a branch of Bible theology, all right, that uses types and shadow, all right, to prefigure, or that teaches the use of types and shadows to prefigure the redemptive work of Christ. And you see, you have to understand the Bible. And that's why a lot of times people read the Bible and they seem not to, you know, get it very well the way they ought to. The Bible is like a book that is full of suspense. It's like a drama. For example, now, and it is filled with a lot of shadows. A lot of, types and shadows that prefigures the redemptive work of Christ. For instance, now, when you read the book of Genesis, all right, you see Moses writing a vision that he had. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. But Moses was not there when it happened. He wrote the Pentateuch, the five book of Moses. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and what? Deuteronomy. But he wasn't there when the incidents in Genesis happened. So it was a vision. So you see, you can begin to picture in your mind that a snake was communicating with Eve. And that, you know, they ate fruits, whether it is apple or coconuts, you know, I don't know. But in reality, such never happened. It was just God trying to communicate a spiritual reality, all right, in a parable, in a throw along, in types and shadows. So the tree of life there refers to Christ. Eternal life. So when you see tree of life, these are figures of speech. Tree of life, book of life, bread of life, water of life is referring to Jesus. For instance, now when the Bible talks about the book of life, that your name will be checked with that, listen, don't start assuming that when you get to heaven, a book will be opened and then they'll be checking for your name. No, Jesus is the book of life. The moment you're born again, your name is written in the book of life. It's simple, figuratively, it means you are in Christ. You are one with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Bible is replete with such language, riddles, types, and shadows. So it wasn't like, you see, snake speaking to Eve. It wasn't snake. Why is snake not talking today? Because in Genesis 3, the Bible tells us that now the serpent is the most subtle animal. That tells you that he's trying to use snake to tell us that the devil is a subtle human being. I mean, subtle spirit. That means he's a father of deception. And that's what Jesus said in the book of John 8:44. He said he's the father of deception. That's just what he's trying to communicate to Moses. Are you listening to me? So in this teaching series I want to begin today, I'll be unbundling some things. And I want to tell you something. The idea of this teaching series is not to make you feel superior to those who have not gotten it. The idea is to help you see what Christ has done and then you rejoice in it. In fact, as a matter of fact, you know, the end of theology is not theology in itself. It's not about just filling yourself with head knowledge or something. You know, the Bible says that he that must come to him must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. That means your theology must not end in having a knowledge of, oh, there is a God. The idea is to produce fruit. That's the idea. Amen forevermore. So, in the book of Hebrews 1, our anchor scripture, I have to run fast now. I haven't even started. I have just a few more minutes already. That's for service for you. Hebrews 1, are you there? Hebrews 1, verse 1. Now, you have to run with me at the speed of light. Hebrews 1:1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, this says, God, in sundry times, he spoke in diverse manners unto the fathers, as in this last day spoken unto us by his son. Number one point you get here is that means the way God spoke to them in the old covenant is different from how he speaks to us today. So he spoke to them in those days in diverse manners. Somebody said diverse manners. Please, I need all your attention and I want limited movement. Somebody said diverse manners. Say it again. Now the word diverse manners is from the Greek word polytropos. Polytropos means different forms, That means the language of scripture from Genesis to Malachi is not straight. It's a mystery. Mysterion. It means to speak with a closed mouth. Have you ever experienced an incident where somebody is about to say something and then you close their mouth? Don't say it yet. That's the meaning of mysterion. It's from a derivative called M-U-O. It means to speak with closed mouth. That means there is something you want to unveil, but you are keeping it to yourself. You're not ready to say it yet. You are waiting for the appointed time. It's like a husband who wants to buy a birthday gift for his wife. All right? I have a big friend like that, that when he wanted to, you know, give his wife a birthday gift, wanted to buy him a car. So she could tell in our movement, we're living together, she could tell in our movement that these guys are up to something. You understand what I'm saying? But she can't really guess what it was, but she knew we have something. Are you listening to me? The Bible is like that, full of suspense. So the day on her birthday when we handed over the key to her, she was like, I knew you guys were up to something, but I never knew it's a car. Are you listening to me? So that's the way it is. So Christ is actually concealed in the Old Testament. But you see, in the New Testament, he was now revealed. So he is the substance of scripture. That's why Jesus in John 5:39, he says, search the scripture, for in them you think you will find eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. So, for example, now, God was going to help them place faith in the Lamb of God, which is Christ, for the remission of their sins. But for many years, they were busy slaughtering cow, slaughtering calf, slaughtering bullocks. But that lamb in itself that they've been slaughtering was a type and shadow of Christ. That was to prefigure the redemptive work of Christ. Because bulls, lambs, and all of those cannot in themselves take away sin. Are you listening to me? So, for example, let me give you an instance. In Exodus 29, the Bible says in verse 10, and thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. Let me tell you this. Maybe I should say it this way. You see, the Old Testament is like a movie. How many of you have seen movies and then you didn't quite understand the movie? Then at the end of the movie, you now understood it. Then you now have to go and rewind, right? That's what we are doing in this series. So we've been seeing them killing bulls, killing goats, killing all sorts of animals. Until in the New Testament, when we now found out that the real original lamb is actually Christ. So now what we are doing now is we want to rewind back now and begin to explain those places we missed. Has it happened to you before? You see a movie, you now saw the end. At the end, you now say, okay, so this is what this man, the movie is full of suspense, right? Now, you now rewind back. You now began to say, I should have suspected here. The way the woman was looking here. Do you understand? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Why are you guys looking like me like you don't watch Dollywood? Amen forevermore. What's that? All right, so that's the way the Bible is. So it's like you know somebody is scheming something, but you don't really know what it's all about. So, you know, Aaron will put his hand on the goat, and then he will confess all the sins of the people on the animal, and then the animal will be killed. That is to tell you that the lamb that was going to be killed, all right, is going to take away the sin of the world. Leviticus 16:22, it says, and the goat shall be led by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. He will take the sin of the world, take the sin of the people away. But listen, the Bible tells us that that animal cannot in itself take away the sin of man. But God was teaching them on how to place their faith in the Lamb of God. So he uses a type or a shadow. This is what we call typology. The use of types and shadows to prefigure the redemptive work of Christ. And that's what it's all about. Because you see, after they have been killing all the bull, the Jewish people knows about killing animals, you know, for the remission of their sin, until John 1:29. A man of God by the name John the Baptist stood up and says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. I mean, he was bold to say that among Jewish audience. So they feel like, what? the Lamb of God, they understood what it meant because they felt, are you kidding me? So you mean this is the real lamb that we're going to slaughter? So now John helps us see. Oh, you're going to know about John very soon next month, next week. We're talking about baptism, the ministry of John the Baptist. He was a forerunner of Christ. So now he points to Christ as the lamb. In other words, listen, all the lambs you guys have been slaughtering all these years, this is the real lamb. Those ones were types and shadows. Glory to God. Because Hebrews 10 verse 1 says, for the law, having a shadow of things to come. Oh my God, I wish I had enough time. I can teach 2 hours on that statement alone. It says, for the law. Now, the word law there, it throws a blanket on the entire Mosaic economy. It says the whole of the Old Testament is a law that was a shadow of things to come. That means it is not the real image. How many of you have seen movies? I'm sorry, I'm going to be using movies a lot. I don't know if you have seen movies where they are using gun, like CID, suspect, this investigative movie, and they're trying to catch. Okay, I don't know if you have seen this documentary of Shoot to Kill, how they caught Osama bin Laden. I don't know if you have seen that documentary. All right, you notice when they got to his house, when he was hiding behind the particular glass, they could see his shadow. So the SWAT, you know SWAT now, well-dressed, they had their gun on. Helicopter was a noiseless helicopter. It was a powerful, intelligent work they did. So now, as he was moving, they've not seen him, but they can see his shadow. Are you listening to me? So they were following his shadow. So in the same vein, listen, the shadow, the whole testament is a shadow of Christ. All those animals they were killing were shadows. So he tells us, he says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, cannot, and not the very image of the thing. Someone said, not the very image. So Jesus himself is the image. That was just the shadow. He now says, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the commerce there unto perfect. Can you see? That means that those sacrifices were not potent in themselves to make them clean or perfect. Verse 2, it says, for them would they not have ceased to be offered. In other words, there would not have been need to be offering it every year if it has taken away their sins. But it was just a shadow to help them see prophetically about the coming of Christ. Then in verse 3, it says, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 4 now says, for it is not possible. Someone said it is not possible. Say it louder. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Can you see that? So the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 10:4 tells us, are not in themselves efficacious to take away sins. So why were they using it in the Old Testament? I told you, types and shadows. So it was, somebody is now wondering, so why did God now have to delay to conceal Jesus in the Old Testament for that long? I'll tell you. In Galatians 4, the Bible says that it was in the right time he sent the Son. Like I told you, it's like you have a girlfriend, or a godly girlfriend, or let me say you are courting. Because I need to spell things out properly. You are in a courtship with a lady, and then next week is her birthday, maybe on the 10th or something. By the way, if your birthday is 10th, it's not prophetical. Alright. And then you want to buy her something. Now, you've bought the gift already. But you are waiting for on the 10th. Do you understand? So when you come for Bible study, you are seeing the girl and you are smiling at her. You don't know anything what I have for you. You are thinking in your mind that this girl don't know that I bought something for her. And of course, you can be so, so uneasy that she might begin to suspect that it's like this guy. And then she can say, do you know my birthday is on the 10th? Yeah, I know. But she's thinking, this guy has something. But she can't really figure out what exactly it was. Or it is, as the case may be. So you are concealing it not from her, but for her. That's why he says, these things he hid not from us, but for our glory. So you are waiting for the right time to now say, yeah, this is it. But I bet you, I'm not good at that. I'm sure my wife is going to suffer for that. Because me, if I buy gifts, I'll break it. Lucy, this, I'm for your birthday already. Birthday is next week, but this is it. I don't have time.
Amen forevermore.
But that's the way the Bible is. It was Christ being concealed all the while. And one of the most powerful, types and shadows that we see in scripture is circumcision. Someone says circumcision. Oh, I'm already overjoyed about this message. But just follow me quickly. So today I'll be teaching you on understanding the doctrine of biblical circumcision. Understanding the doctrine of biblical circumcision. And I have two objectives. Number one, I have to run now. Time is fast spent. I have two objectives. Number one is I want to help you understand the implication of biblical circumcision. Number two, I want to stir up your confidence in the efficacy of circumcision. Now, I think I will do more of that in second service. So please, make sure you get the second service tape. It's going to bless you. Now, first, let us first define what circumcision is. Let me look at it from the etymology of that word, circumcision. Now, circumcision. Somebody say circumcision. Say it louder. I didn't hear you. I want everybody to participate. Say circumcision. Now, circumcision is from two words. You can say the word circum and scission. Now, scission means to cut, like with the scissors. Scission, like when they say there's an incision. All right, like scissors. All right? Then, circum, from circumference. Now, circumference, round. So, circumcision means to cut around. Now, circumcision, all right, is the removal of a male's child's foreskin. So that foreskin is also called prepuce and is the shield that covers the skin. That covers the skin of, I want to pray you for this powerful word now. For those of you that are younger, you can close your ear. Penis. Alright? So the head of the penis, some people say, what's that? Some people that are looking like they were sleeping before they are awake now. It is well. Alright, now the head of the penis is called glans. G-L-A-N-S. Now, that edge, there is a shield that covers it of a newborn baby. Now, that shield, that skin, they will have to remove it. Oh, it's very painful. Even in spite of the fact that now medicine has, advanced, that they now have anesthesia and all of that, but I'm not going to have experienced a crying baby before. It's so painful. All right? So they have to cut that thing out. Now, of course, medically speaking, it is done basically for hygienic purpose. But it's more than that. And that's why we call it types and shadows. You're going to see all these things in scriptures when we continue this series. All right? So now they will remove the foreskin. So that's called second. They will have to cut it round. All right? And then remove it. Now, God commanded them to do this on the eighth day. I want to tell you that this thing is far beyond medical or hygienic purpose. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. I was doing my study and I found out. Do you know that the two major elements required for blood clotting? Now, blood clotting is, and it's when somebody is bleeding, let me just use layman language, when somebody is bleeding, it bleeds to a point where something will just clot, like thick film. All right. Okay, so there are two major elements responsible for that. Vitamin K and protombrin. Protombrin, don't worry. You don't have to cram it, don't worry. All right. That enzyme protombrin, listen up. In 1837, thereabout, a particular German physiologist found out that it's at the peak on the eighth day. That means the ability for a child, a human being, to clot is at the peak. And it begins on the eighth day. And God, before medicine, God already commanded that they must do the thing on the eighth day. Why? It's to tell you that there's a divine hand in this thing. Listen, if you circumcise a child on the seventh day, that child might bleed to death. Because he has not produced the right element that will initiate blood clotting. There was no medicine when God told Moses that he should do it on the eighth day. That has to tell you that there is more that is to this circumcision than we think it is medically. Are you paying attention to this? So you see, now, when they remove that foreskin, let me just give it to you. Do you know what the real image of that thing is? I'll tell you quickly before I go into it in detail. It was God teaching them that in salvation, at the new birth, we will take away the body of sin. Okay, just follow me. Open Genesis 17. Let's see where God gave the instruction. Genesis 17. And God said unto Abraham, verse 9, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generation, he that is born in thy house, or brought with money, or of any stranger, which is not of thy. Look at verse 11. Says, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of covenant between me and you. Glory to God forevermore. Like I told you, until 1872, that was when a medical physiologist by the name, Adolf Alexander Schmidt, all right, that's his name, is a German physiologist. Thousands of years after, when this law has been given, 1872, in 19th century, that was when this man, all right, he was doing a research on blood clotting. And, it was by him that they now actually even named the enzyme protombrin. So, and we find out something very amazing here. Of course, protombrin spells P-R-O-T-H-R-O-M-B-I-N. All right, these are the things that causes blood to coagulate so that you won't bleed to death. And guess what? This, now, the ability to clot the blood is at the peak at the 8th day of a baby. Why? That's to tell you that there's a divine hand behind the circumcision thing. So we want to dig more into it and see. Now, here is the point. The circumcision was a token of covenant between God and Papa AB. Right? Now, the question therefore is, why? Now, I'll tell you. Circumcision has two purposes. Write it down. It has two purposes. Come on. Number one is identity. Oh, you are getting it already. Somebody say identity. Good. Number two, immunity. Identity and immunity. Now, circumcision was a token of covenant between God and Papa Abraham. And this circumcision was going to separate the children of Israel from the whole world. In other words, the whole world is going to say, oh, these guys belong to God. So circumcision was a token of covenant between God and Papa Abraham, all right, to identify the people of God. That they belong to God. Now, somebody is wondering, okay, if it is just for identification, then why do we have to go through this painful thing? By the way, let me tell you, when God gave this instruction to Papa AB, Papa AB was old. And he too had to be circumcised. You can imagine how painful that would be. And this was an aged man. And yet everybody had to do it. So if it is just for identification, then we could have just said, I think God went too far. You could have just maybe put a tattoo, or maybe everybody will wear a chain, if it is for identification that they belong to God. But it's more than that. Listen. Now, look up. Now, that practice, that circumcision, that practice in itself, that covenant, was a token. That circumcision, rather, is a token. That means a sign, all right, of the promise. And what was the promise? God gave Abraham a promise. He says, in thy seed shall all the families of the head be blessed. Then in Galatians 3, we found out that seed is Christ. So if you are now in Christ, you've been circumcised. And you're going to get it very clearly now. So it is for identification, number one. Glory to God forevermore. I know some of you is sounding somehow, but don't worry. When you listen to the tape again and again, all right, you will get it clearly. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, quickly. Time is fast spent. I have just 18 minutes. That's why it's in second service I will dig more into the stuff. Galatians 3, verse 16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds, as in plural, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is whom? Christ. 27, go to 27. It now says, for as many of you as have baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that means circumcision, which the Jewish people did to prove that they belong to God, that separated them from the whole world. Are you listening to me? Now, we now, by being in Christ, the real image is that we are now belonging to God. So circumcision that they did in the old covenant was a type of what happened to you at new birth. So today, if you do circumcision today, all right, maybe it is good at least for medical reason. All right? Are you listening to me? By the way, I will prescribe that you make sure you circumcise your kids. Amen. Amen. But there is nothing spiritual about it as at now. Why? Because the circumcision that was done in the old covenant was actually to prefigure the work of the Spirit at the new birth. I'm not figuring what I just said. That means in taking away the flesh of the body of sin. That means, look up. The Bible says when we came into Christ, what happened is that we put off the old man and we put on the new man. So that first king of the, let me call it now, pennies. I need to prepare your mind about it so that I won't just say it loud, you know. All right. The removal of that first king, all right, was to give them an identity that they belong to God. Now, listen, at salvation, you were also circumcised by the Spirit, not the one made with hands. So the circumcision done, all right, and by the way, let me just touch this. There was this agitation against female circumcision, and some tried to drag religion into it. It's wrong. It's only the male child. And there's a reason why it's a male child. Don't worry. It's because, you know, God said it. He says, this shall be a token of my covenant in your flesh forever. Why? Because it has to be the organ of procreation of a man. Because every woman eventually too will come through that procreation process. Do you understand? So a woman needed not to be circumcised. So the circumcision is for the male child and it was to remove the foreskin of the, I say it again, penis. I know some people are very happy about today's message. I'm calling penis. It is well. But are you getting the point now? So this is just to prefigure. So even though it has, look up, even though it has a medical, hygienic, you know, benefit, much more than that, it was to prefigure the redemptive work of Christ. For instance, now, I'm going to talk about that maybe when we're talking about communion. When God was telling them in the book of Leviticus 20 that they should not eat some animals, that they should eat some animals, they should not eat these animals, they should eat that animals. All right, it was in the book of Acts 10 that we realized that those animals were to prefigure the Jews from non-Jews. When Peter went to preach, he saw the animals were brought down. And he says, kill and eat. He says, no, I have not eaten anything unclean. Oh. God now said, do not call whatever I have called clean, unclean. And when Peter was going to relay the incidents before the people now, the Jerusalem pastors, when they were questioning him, he said, listen, even when he got, in fact, before then, said, when he got to the guy's house, he said, you know how it is unlawful for me being a Jew to come into the house of a Gentile. He said, but God has told me that not to call any man unclean. That means he translated animal to be man. So the animal that God was instructing them not to eat in the old covenant was to prefigure human beings. It was a figure of speech for human beings. It was to typify human beings. Which human being? Those animals they shouldn't eat refers to the non-Jews. So God now said, listen, I have called them clean now. Oh, they were formerly unclean because they have no covenant with me. Ephesians 2, he says, he has broken that wall of partition between us and the Jew. That means, look up. Yeah. That's why Abraham was declared righteous before the circumcision, so that he will be a father of the circumcised and the uncircumcised in the flesh. That means when you got born again, you've been circumcised spiritually. Hallelujah. Let me show you this. Open to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse 8. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now look at verse 12, everybody. Pay attention to verse 12. He says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Oh, do you understand? When you got born again, you've been circumcised. But listen, not the circumcision that was done with hands, because the circumcision that was done with hands was to prefigure the original circumcision that took place at salvation. Look at it. It says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Oh, so that means when the first king of the pennies was taken away, it was to prefigure the operation of the spirit that took place when you got born again. That means the body of sin was taken away. Are you hearing me? Now you put on Christ. You have put off the old man. Now you put on Christ, which is renewed in his knowledge after the image of him that created you. So now you've been circumcised, not with the one done with hands. Now you have a confidence in this new circumcision. Oh, I'll talk about this in second service. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So circumcision was a shadow meant to prefigure the man in Christ, having put off the old man of sin. Open to Ephesians 2. Let me show you this. Ephesians 2. I need to run now. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, now pay attention to this verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. You were called uncircumcision. How? By that which is called circumcision in the flesh made with hands. Do you understand? Are you following now? He now says, you that were once called uncircumcision by the natural circumcision. He now says in verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Do you understand? That means you were cut off from the Israelites. That means you were strangers. Why? Because circumcision, all right, was a means of their identification to prove that they belong to God. So anyone who was not an Israelite, who was not from the seed of Abraham in the flesh, all right, does not belong to God. They are alien from the commonwealth of Israel. They had no God in this world. They were called Gentiles. He now says, this was your position before. This is who you were before. He was talking to the people in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, a Gentile nation. They were not Jewish. He now says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. What is the promise? In your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Are you listening to me? So we that were non-Jews, we didn't have that promise initially. He now says, having no hope and without God in this world, that means there was no hope for us. You were hopeless as an unbeliever. You were hopeless being not a Jew because God didn't have a covenant with you. He had a covenant with Papa Abi and his seed. And that seed is Christ. So what brought you to become a beneficiary of that covenant is because when you came into Christ. Now, pay attention. Verse 13 now says, but now. Someone say, but now. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Do you understand? So in taking away the foreskin of, I come again, penis, there's going to be bleeding. All right? Now, by the blood of Christ, that means by the death of Christ, we've been brought near. So this circumcision was to prefigure the operation of the Spirit at salvation. Look at it. He now says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He now says, for through him, we both, verse 18, for through him, we both, what is we both? That means both the Jew and the Gentiles. He says, for through him, that means through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Hallelujah. 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 Look at verse 19. Oh, can we all read verse 19 together, everybody? Verse 19, everybody. Louder, 3, 2, go. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is the real image behind circumcision. It was to prefigure the operation of the Spirit at salvation. Amen forevermore. Amen. I said amen forevermore. Amen. See, the Bible is full of such riddles, such hidden truth, mysteries. And that's why the New Testament is Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is New Testament concealed. So you won't really get the message except you finish watching the movie. Then you now begin to rewind. Let me give an instance. The animal that was going to serve as, of course, we've read in Hebrews 10 verse 4 that the animals could not even take away, it was to prefigure, right? They will have to take the animal to the altar and slaughter the animal. Then only the high priest takes the blood. Now, just assume you're watching a movie. Listen to me. Now, the high priest will now take the blood into the holiest of all. Now, the temple was partitioned into three. You have the tabernacle, then you have the outer court, then you have the inner court, then you have the holiest of all. Now, the holiest of all has what we call a large curtain. Now, this curtain is actually, such a large curtain. In fact, some theologian told us that it is 40 feet, wide and 60 feet high. And it is about 4 inches thick. That's why the Bible made it clear that it was, when the curtain was cut, it says it was cut from top to bottom to show you that it was not a hand of man that cut it. Now, the high priest will go there once in a year. And when he's going, they will put a chain behind him. So that in case if he dies, they will drag him out. Somebody else will go. And only the family of Aaron will do this. The Levi. So now they will go into the holiest of all with blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. This is all drama. It's like acting a movie with a low budget. You know low budget movies? Like they needed to use AK-47, but they didn't have money for AK-47, so they will use a Paco gun. You understand? It was a movie to prefigure the work of Christ at salvation. Are you listening to me? So now, we saw that in the movie too, at Golgotha. So where was the altar where Jesus was killed? On the cross. So the cross is the altar. Where he was killed, where he gave up the ghost. And then, now, this is why sometimes shadows can never be perfect. In the shadow, it was the high priest that would take the animal. So the high priest and the animal were two different entities. But in the original, in the real image, the sacrifice is also the high priest. So he provides the animal, the sacrifice, he provides the fire. He himself. So by the sacrifice of himself, verse 14 of Hebrews 10, he says, he has what? Taken away sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Yes, that's why it is called mystery, mysterion, hidden truth. So that means all the while that they were removing the foreskin of, I want to call it again, penis. I need to prepare your mind because it's not something you should be saying. All right, but just for this teaching. And I know some people are very happy. All right, the Lord bless your heart. All right, so while they were there, busy removing the foreskin of the penis in the Old Testament, and the child is crying. So what they were doing actually, they were acting the drama of what happened to you when you believed the gospel. That means the body of sin was taken away by the sacrifice of Christ. The blood shed there connotes the death of Christ. So when you believe the gospel now, you've been circumcised. Look, that's just like what we read. This circumcision this time around is not the one done with hand, but the one done by the Spirit. So this is the shadow. So we're looking at types and shadow. Look at Philippians 3. Let me just stop here. I will continue from here in second service. In second service, see, I have shown you what I've achieved number one aim, which is the fact that I said, I want you to see the significance of circumcision. Then I also want to embolden you. I want to embolden you in the efficacy of circumcision. If you are leaving, make sure you get second services tape. I'll be talking about the efficacy of circumcision. It will bless you tremendously. But the first thing I want to get granted now is identification. That means circumcision was God's way. It was a token of covenant between God and Abraham. And listen, that covenant, that circumcision was going to serve as a token to prove that Israelites belong to God. Are you listening to me? You belong to God. Now, much more than that, because if it is all about identification, then there was no need for them to go through that painful situation. Right? It's just like when I see people of today, when they still give their children mark. I'm like, They did it in those days because of slavery. People can run away. Parents and children can be dispersed, you know, during slavery. So that with that mark, you'll be able to tell that, this is my son, right? But now, how can you do something, you know, like this. Kilode. So if it was just for identification, we would have said, God has gone too far by saying they should cut their foreskin. Many of you, maybe you don't know how it, you, you see, it's painful. And guess what? Abraham was, I think he was 75 or thereabouts. An elderly man. Remove the foreskin of his penis. It was going to be painful. And so, you see, what they were doing then, number one, that was God's token. Listen, God is saying, I want to have a token of my covenant in your flesh forever. So the Gentiles are going to live their own that way. And by the way, I think for hygiene purpose, it is terrible. All right? Medically speaking, it is terrible to leave the prepuce that way. You know, when the penis shrinks, the thing will now, it looks very, and it's even very difficult to clean the penis well. So I think medically it is even right. It is good to cut it off. But the most intriguing thing, like I told you, is that God commanded that it should be done on the eighth day. Now, until 1872, a medical physiologist never later found out that it's actually on the eighth day that a child has the two elements required to ensure blood clotting. If it was done on the seventh day, the child would have bled to death. You know blood clotting? How many of you know blood clotting in biology? That means blood clotting is, you know, when somebody is bleeding, it will get to a point, something thick will form on it to stop it from bleeding. That can only happen in a child on the eighth day. And guess what? Let me not even shock you. Guess what? Science said that prothrombin and vitamin K, or vitamin K as the case may be, is at the highest peak on the eighth day. That means the eighth day is the only day in your entire life that your prothrombin and vitamin K is on the highest to ensure clotting. Tell me that is not supernatural. So even though we are doing it medically for hygiene purpose, there is a more to it than that. It was a shadow to prefigure what happened at salvation. Now, if it was just identification, then we would have said God has gone too far, because if it is for identification, they should just put a mark on them or a tattoo. But it's more than that. It was a token of covenant of promise. What was the promise? So, listen, that means the token was to point them to the promise. And what was the promise? In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And who is that seed? Christ. Galatians 3 now tells us that the seed is not plural, it is singular. And the seed is Christ. So when you came into Christ, you became an heir of the promise. Let me read this scripture, then we close. Philippians 3. My time is up. Second service starts 9:30. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Oh, I'm going to talk about this in second service. The efficacy. Oh my God. I would to God that you understand this and I'm talking about. Hi. Philippians 3 verse 1. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision. Hallelujah. We are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. Do you understand? That means our own circumcision is not the physical one. We might be doing the physical one now, maybe for medical reason. But the real one, the original image, don't forget where we began. Hebrews 1:1 and verse 2. You know where we began? He says, God who at sundry times, he spoke to the fathers how? In diverse manners. That means in polytropos. That means the language of scripture in the Old Testament was not straight. Why? I will tell you why. For many reasons. One of them is that God could not communicate spiritual reality to them. They were dead. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, a natural man cannot receive the things of God. Neither can he ginosko them. He can't know them. For they can only be spiritually discerned. So God is going to communicate eternal life to Moses. He had to show him a dream that there were two people living in a garden. And then one ate of the tree, he said, you should not eat. But Jesus told us in Matthew 15, from verse 11 to 19, that it is not what a man eats that defiles him. So apple couldn't have defiled Adam. Are you listening to me? So eating deer was figurative of believing. So Adam believed in death by eating the tree God says not to eat. He refused eternal life, which is the tree of life. Jesus is the tree of life. Snake cannot speak. The snake there represents subtlety of the enemy. That's why in Genesis 3, if you were paying attention in Genesis 3, it says, now the serpent is the most subtle animal. So the character of subtlety that God wants to inject into the movie was why snake appeared. Snake don't talk, do snake? Have you seen snake talking today? So these are shadows. Look up, everybody. There's so much to dig into this thing. I have so much to share with you, but let's close to that for now. We're going to talk about the communion. What is the significance of communion? What about water baptism? What is the significance? Look at the Passover. What is the significance? See, the idea is to deepen your knowledge. Let me tell you something. Listen, this ministry, we are committed, all right, to get you fed in the knowledge and power of God. Not just knowledge alone and not just power alone. Because, you see, the New Testament ministry is on two legs, the Word and the Spirit. You see, when you are... let me tell you, do you know my dream? I want to pump you. Have you seen where somebody is trying to, you know, put something in a bottle, put it again, tight it, open it again, put it again, tight, until you become word automated. You are living by the Word and by the Spirit. Infused by the Word, empowered by the Spirit. Are you hearing me? That's my dream in your life. So I want to encourage you, submit to this vision. It will help you. Were you blessed? Rise on your feet, everybody. Say after me, I am the circumcision. Not with hands, but by the Spirit. Lift your hands and just appreciate Him. Say thank you, Father. Just appreciate Him. Just appreciate Him. Just appreciate Him. Thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be your name forevermore. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Just thank Him. If you understood today's message, you will lift your hands and appreciate Him. Just thank Him for circumcising us by the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Mantala.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.